not a mother, sister, friend, or brother loves the way that Jesus can. He proved his love for me when he died on Calvary. He gave his life for fallen men. His love is a boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me. His love is an endless love that will last through all eternity. Jesus wants to love you, there is none above you. You are precious in his sight. He will never fail you when the doubts assail you. He'll be with you day and night. His love is a boundless love, and it reaches out and touches me. His love is an endless love that will last through all eternity. His love is a boundless love, and it reaches out and touches me. His love is an endless love that will last through all eternity.
Thank you, gentlemen. We are in the book of Proverbs, and we've been in it for quite a while, off and on. And we are looking currently at the critical man, the gossip, the scorner, different things of that nature. When you read through the book of Proverbs and you are looking at the verses that would apply to that, the words you would look for are scorner, scornful, talebearer, slanderer, or whisperer. We mentioned last time that the name Satan literally means accuser, and the name devil means slanderer. And so if that's a name that God chose to give to the devil, then that's probably not something we would want to be involved in. What is gossip? A good definition of gossip is telling someone who is not part of the problem or a part of the solution to the problem. Really, telling people that don't need to know. Saying things to others that they have nothing at all to do with it. Now, I don't think that many of you, as I mentioned, in this room would be characterized that way. But we need to be careful that we don't step into that area, even if that's not who we are. And if we don't want to become something, then we should do all we can not to even do it a little bit. Review what we said last week. We went over, I think, four last week. We said, a critic loves to cause problems between people, and you see the verse there on that. We said that one who gossips is showing that they are not really concerned about what is best for others. Number six, we said a critical person knows just what to say to hurt others. It's almost like a tool. They know exactly where it's almost like a knife, you know, exactly where to stick it in to get the most pain. And so a critical person is like that. Number seven, a critical person is someone who should be avoided. Okay, here we go. This is new. Number eight, the way to end problems and pain is to stop the gossip. The way to end problems and pain is to stop the gossip. Now, when I was in Bible college, as Bible college students, you know, we had many opportunities to preach to each other. Many times we do our bus routes, and on the way back from our bus routes, you know, we would drop our bus off on Sunday night at the bus barn at about midnight. And we went to pick our bus up. We would leave our college at 5 in the morning. So by that time, we were really tired. Plus, we had visited all day on Saturday from about 10 in the morning till 9 at night, hour and a half drive. So you can figure by then we were running on fumes. So we would all get up. We thought it was a good idea to preach to each other on the bus after midnight when we were dog tired. And I've heard many messages on this verse. And they sound good. What they say is good. But it actually, we don't apply it to what it applies to, okay? You've probably heard it too. Proverbs 26:20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Man, I've heard some good messages on that. Anybody ever heard something on that? Like, brother, we don't have any fire for God. We don't have wood. And by the way, that's true. There's probably a better verse for that somewhere, but that's true. But what's the context? Look at the next part of the verse. We never read that on the bus. Probably because the coffee had wore off. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You understand that he's applying this to this situation. We're talking about gossip. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down to the innermost part of the belly. We saw that principle already. What is the context of this wood and this coal? They are the fuel for the fire. Okay? That's what he's talking about here. Here's the progression. If there's no wood, there's no fire. There must be coals to burn. There must be a fuel for the flame to burn. The fire he's talking about is a picture of the strife that is caused by the words of others. The talebearer, the contentious man, is the fuel for that fire or strife. So what happens? If we eliminate the fuel, what happens? We stop the fire. That's what he's talking about here. He's an igniter, a starter. By the way, you say, well, he talks later on about a contentious man. Well, a gossip, by definition, really, is contentious because he's starting contentions among others by the things that he says about others to other people. And so the Bible is very clear here. The principle, the picture is get rid of the fuel. Get rid of what starts the problem. A little spark, and I learned this from my good buddy, Smokey the Bear, a little spark can start a great fire. By the way, I don't know if you knew this, his name is no longer Smokey the Bear. He prefers that you call him Smokey Bear. How many of you know that, right? Okay, I that's what he says, and so we'll listen to what he says. But I'm old school. He is Smokey the Bear. He's trying to stop you from starting little fires here or there and not taking care of them because it can start a great, great, great fire. Fire is very destructive. I was reading about the Chicago fire. In 1871, there was a fire in the city of Chicago. It burned a four-mile stretch by three-quarters of a mile long, burned everything in its path. It burned an estimation of more than 2,000 acres. It destroyed 73 miles of roads, 120 miles of sidewalk, 2,000 lampposts, 17,500 buildings, and $222 million in property loss. Now today, if you calculate that out to today's number, that would be over $4 billion worth of damage. There was 300,000 people living in Chicago at the time. 100,000 were left homeless because of this fire. They said about 300 died, but that's just the ones they could identify. Many more. You know, it started about 9 o'clock at a small barn belonging to an O'Leary family. They had a little lamp there. There's two stories. Either her cow kicked it over. There were also some gentlemen there that were playing a card game, and they feel that one of them may have knocked it over. But just carelessness either way. A little carelessness with a lamp that was knocked over caused a lot of damage, very costly. And that's what the Bible's talking about, no wood, the fuel for the fire. We say little words idly or in anger, or to get back at somebody, and we don't understand the damage that those words can cause. It can do a great deal of damage. They cause deep hurt. Many have been accidentally hurt by things that careless use of words, and so we need to be careful. Look at your verses there from the book of James. James just says it straight out. James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Even so, the tongue is a little tiny member. Doesn't say tiny, I'm adding that. It's a little member, very little. And boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. Not only does it hurt others, but the way we use our words and the way we use our tongue, as we see some of the bad points later on here, it also hurts the person who is loose with their words. That's what he's saying. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and the set on the fire of hell. Well, people say, well, I have to say something. There's a real problem. There's a real issue here that needs to be dealt with. Then what do? We say it to the correct person who can deal with it in the proper way. Be very careful. We can cause, look, so many problems are caused in families. It can be, by the way, problems can be caused in a church. Why? Because somebody is loose with their tongue and says something, and now here's an issue, and you can trace it back to somebody saying something to somebody they should not have said, they should not have told it to, or the way that they say it. So let's be very careful. So how do we stop a fire? Avoid the fuel. Avoid the one who ignites it. Douse water on it. Okay? Be a critic stopper. Now, we're going to see later on that you can actually cause trouble for yourself if the person has a bad spirit. But most of the time, the people we're around when they're saying something critical, they're saying it in a very, they're just saying it, and they're not maybe thinking what they're saying. And so let's be an encourager, and let's try to stop that. And by the way, don't spread stuff. Okay, well, you know, and we talked about that. You tell somebody, hey, you know, I'll tell you this, but don't tell anybody. Do you know what that means? As soon as they walk away from you, they got their cell phone out. And it's on their social media. They've texted 12 people, and they're called 5 others. Okay, so that's not going to happen. So let's stop it. Let's make sure that we don't let stuff go any farther. Proverbs 22:10 says, "Cast out the scorner." And what happens? Contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. You ever been in a group and there's a person that when they're around, it just seems that tensions are a little higher? There's more problems than there were when they weren't there? Well, that's how it is with the critic. It's just best, listen, get them out of the situation, get them out of the picture, and everything goes better. That sounds mean, but to me, it's meaner to let someone allow someone to cause pain for others. So let's light it. Let's watch it. It's like putting a lion in a cage with a bunch of lambs. Does it mean to remove the lion? Not for the sake of the lambs, it's not. Okay, those lambs are going to be killed by the lion, so move them out of the way. All right, number 9. A critical person is showing that they will never, maybe never is a strong term, but they will never be a wise person. Proverbs 14:6 says this, "A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy to him that understandeth." Now we're talking about someone who their life is characterized by being a critic. The Bible says if they seek for wisdom, they will not find it. Thinking carefully through this, there may be a couple reasons why this is true. They could look strongly in the wrong place. Because they're a scorner, they're a critic, when they're looking for wisdom, they're looking in all the wrong places. You're not going to find, look, if we're not looking for wisdom in the right places, we're not going to find it. And if you look at all the description of a scorner, a critic, they just seem like the kind of person, they're not going to be looking in the right kind of places for it. They're very proud, and we'll see that later. So we go looking in the wrong places. Or could be the next point, they look weakly in the right place. In other words, yeah, they seek wisdom, but are they really seeking it? Are they really putting in the effort that it takes to be a wise person, to learn what God wants? They will not be characterized as being, or they will never be a wise person. Because a critical person typically has a prideful spirit. And when we are being critical, we are stepping into the area of being proud at that time. We know what's right. We're comparing ourselves to other person. How wrong they are and how right they are. We need to be very careful about that. They don't listen because maybe they just don't really want to hear. And when they hear, they won't listen. Many years ago, we were thinking of doing a game for youth conference. And Brother Ross, they wanted to do a game. There was, I guess it was a show out that used to be, Are You Smarter Than a Fourth Grader? Okay, you know what I'm talking about? And it's a show where I guess they asked you questions where, you know, you should know the answers because a fourth grader would know those answers. That sounds like that could be very extremely embarrassing for the adults. But so they sent me a couple clips and said, hey, we want to do a version of this for youth conference. They showed me one clip, and there was some actress on there. I don't know who she was. And so the host was asking her a question. He's trying to get her to get the right answer. And she's sitting there thinking it through. She said that he's trying to help her. And he was giving her some clues. And I remember she said this. I wrote this down. It was funny. She goes, I hear what you're saying, but I'm listening to what I'm thinking. And he looks at her. He goes, you know what they call that? She goes, no. He goes, that's called being a woman. Right? That's how we are sometimes. We hear something, and we kind of know it's the truth, but you know what we listen to? We listen to what we're thinking. We don't really want to hear it. It's there, and it kind of makes sense. And a critic usually is a person that the truth will be told, but they just don't really want to hear it. They're going to go with what they're thinking, and usually it is critical, and it is hurtful of other people. Sometimes we don't find wisdom because we can't see the good in anybody. We have trouble trusting people. You know, we're cynical of everybody. Everybody's got an ulterior motive. Don't live like that. The point is, if they aren't wise, why do we listen to their criticism? If you have to be around people and they're constantly just that little spirit, why do we listen to them? They're telling you by their negativity that they really aren't seeking to be wise and that they aren't wise, so why do we listen to them? It's like a Bobby Knight. He was a great basketball coach of years back in Indiana, and he was a little bit rough with people. And there was a reporter that was being very negative with him. And he finally looked at a reporter and said, listen, I have forgot more about basketball than you'll ever know. And that's probably true, right? We always sit there and say, man, why did the coach do that? If I was the coach, I would have done this. And we're thinking like, of course the coach doesn't know what he's doing. He's only been doing this his whole life. Right? And all we know is what we see. But that's how we are. Number 10. A constantly critical person, we need to be careful of this, will eventually be a hated person. Hated person. Now, hopefully we don't hate them. But I'm just talking about in the influence and the people that they come in contact with. Look at what Proverbs 24:9 says. It says, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Abomination, you say, well, that abomination means hate. No, no. Actually, abomination means to hate intensely. It's like if hate's here, abomination is up here. So what the Bible is saying that that person who is constantly critical of everybody and they're very negative, that grades on people. And eventually, people will not like them. And typically, those who aren't Christians who don't understand any better, they will have a hatred for that person. No one wants to be around a critical person. Why? You ever know? A critic can just drag you down. You can be having a great day. Everything's wonderful. And you get around this person. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, it's just nonsense. It kind of just drags you down. That wears on people. They don't want to hear it. Negative people usually aren't very pleasant even when they're not being negative. You ever meet a person like that? It's just like, you know, it's like, everything, the way they look, the way they act, it's like, come on. No one wants to be around that, by the way. They may have to say, well, I'm married to one. Well, you know, we'll deal with that in the marriage family series, okay? So we'll move on. But we don't want to be around it. It's very negative. Negative people just aren't very pleasant. By the way, for us, what does that mean? We should watch the spirit that we set. Because it is very easy for us to be negative. And for some of us, maybe our bent is to be a little more negative. And so we have to constantly fight that. And let me say this. Sometimes as Christians, we're really good at being negative. And we'll use our Christianity as an excuse for being a negative person. Okay? It's like the only thing we ever see in the Bible is the negative stuff. And by the way, none of it's really negative in that sense, but you know what I'm talking about. The stuff that's harder. And boy, that's what we thrive on, and we can never say anything encouraging. And it's a wonder people don't like Christians. We do that many ways. We focus more on what's negative. You know, you're in a church and you mention a sin, man. You get on some sin and everybody jumps up on the pews and says amen, and there's nothing wrong with that. But boy, you talk about the love of God and you can't even get a holy grunt. It's like, you know, the love of God is not liberal. If we're going to preach against sin, we should preach about God's love, because it's God's love which prompted him to tell us about our sin in the first place. It all goes together. God loves you. But there are some negatives. But let's not focus on that. I'm like you. I'm like, this is where I'm kind of bent. We like the stories where Jesus goes in and throws the money changers out. And by the way, if I had to go see something in the Bible, I probably would have liked to have seen that one. That would have been a good one. I would have been in on that. Okay? I would have been in, you know, when David's cutting Goliath's head off. That would have been good. But those are the stories we like. We don't like the stories where the lady comes in adultery, who the law said should have been stoned, and Jesus, now he gets on the guys, that was a good part, but he lets her go. Now he did tell her don't sin anymore. But see, those ones we don't really, look, it all goes together, people. And so let's not always just be negative as Christians. We blame our spiritual gifts. You know, I'm a prophet. Did you say you're making a prophet? Good. Pass offering plate tonight, amen? No, prophet. You know, that's just how I am. I see the negative. Me too. That's a little bit of me. I see the negative, right? You can clean the house from top to bottom, and you go in, and what do you notice? You notice the one thing that's dirty. Hey, what's that? You didn't notice the rest of the stuff? We cleaned the house today. But that's dirty. Okay, we didn't get everything. Give us a break. That's how we are. Well, we just blame God. You know, that's just how God made me. No, you were made a certain way, but God didn't make us to constantly be negative and grating on people. You want an example to follow? I'll give you an example. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus was full of truth, but he mixed that truth with grace. And the grace kept his truth from hammering people. He had both. He was perfect. That's why he could tell the lady, I'm not going to condemn you. Where's your condemners? They're gone. Neither do I condemn thee. That was the grace. Now, the truth part said before she left, by the way, go and sin no more. I'm not giving you a license here. But let's be very careful. People eventually grow tired of that. Conversely, people like being around a positive person. Look, if you come in, maybe you come to church and you just came from work and you're a little bit tired and this and that, and you meet someone that's real encouraging. Hey, how you doing? We're so glad to have you here. Doesn't that lift your spirit? Okay, you meet someone that has good news. That lifts your spirit. And so let's work on that also. Let's not always be negative. Yes, let's be truthful. Now, what Christianity does today is say, well, we want to be positive, so what we do is we won't mention anything in the Bible that's negative. That's not being positive. Okay? That's not. Watching people get hurt. No. We tell the whole counsel of God, the whole truth. Let's be very careful. Let's be an encourager. Let's be the one people want to be around. I hope that new people, and I'm sure it happens, we have so many new people that come around on a Sunday morning. I think one of the reasons they like it, they hope they like the church, but I think sometimes they like the spirit of the people of the church. They come in and people are like, how are you doing? Someone remembered their name. And by the way, it's hard sometimes to remember everybody's name. I understand that. And if you forgot someone's name, don't call them brother. Brother, you know what? I'm sorry. I know you're new here and I forgot your name. Ask for it. But let's be an encourager to people. People get enough negativity out there. You know what they need when they come to church? They need some people that are genuine and care about them. It's an old illustration when it comes to finding that which is wrong. If you took a white sheet of paper and you put a black dot in the middle and you showed that sheet of paper to someone and say, what do you see on this sheet of paper? What are they going to say? I see a black dot. You know, the black dot's probably less than 1% of the paper. We miss the white part of the paper, which is 99.9% of the paper. That's what we see. But we see that sometimes in life. Someone does something good, we don't say anything to them. But boy, someone messes up, we see that, right? And you have to fight. You come here and you see something, hey, how come the microphone didn't work? Okay, well, what about everything else that did work? And now we do need to make sure the microphone gets fixed. This one's got some issues here, so I'm not going to let you get away with that. But thank you that the other microphones worked. But what do you see, and what are you encouraging people? Remember years ago, there was a lady, I was talking to her, and she started ripping into her husband. He's this, and he's that, and he's that. I'm like, I got to change this conversation. I'm getting a headache. And so I said, her mom had been here. I'd met her mom before. I said, oh, by the way, I thought I changed the conversation. How's your mom doing? And she said, she's doing good. She's mad at my husband also. I'm like, you just can't get off of that subject, can you? I mean, it's all right there. So let's work on being positive. Now, why do we have trouble with what comes out? Let's look at some verses here. Look at the verses I put there in Matthew. How can we make sure positive and good speech comes out? Look at these verses. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers. See, Jesus he told the truth. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He says, listen, he was talking to a group of them there, and he says, listen, you're evil, and why do you speak that way? Because it's in your heart. And out of the abundance or the overflow of your heart, that's what is going to come out. Then he pictures it further. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And then he says, it gives a warning, but I say unto you that every word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. He says, what you say is important. But then he did tell him where does the words that come out of you, where do they come from? They come from whatever has the majority in your heart. If your words are constantly negative, wrong, and all of that, you know why that is? Because that's what is the abundance in your heart. That has the majority. But if you constantly, you're an encourager and good things and you're down the right road, why? Because that's what has the overflow or the abundance of your heart. What you say says a lot about yourself. Now, sometimes you can fool people a little bit, but boy, you catch them in something, it'll come out. You say, well, I struggle. I'm constantly this, that, and the other. Well, I can tell you why. What are you putting in your heart? By the way, you hear people talk, and I've dealt with enough issues and problems, and people talk, and it's like the way they talk is just so, it's so nonsense. Hey, dog, and all this stuff, and they say all this stuff. It's like I can almost tell what they're watching and what music they're listening to. They didn't get that from the Bible, okay? It's, listen, if I'm listening to that, you know, and I'm not getting on a certain type of music, but you know, if I'm listening to rap music, I'm probably not going to jump up there and praise God, okay? It's garbage. You say, how do you know? Because I like it, and I'm trying to get rid of it. Just kidding. You pull up. Look, a car pulls up next to you. And the words coming out of there are so awful. It's like, no wonder we say that. We can't even string a sentence together coherently. Because the music we're listening to or whatever we're watching, if that's the abundance of our heart, we wonder why when pressure's on us or we get upset, that's what flows out. Well, I was just mad. You may have said it because you were mad, but it came out because it had the abundance and the overflow in there. So let's put the good stuff in. Now, every now and then we may say something we should, but if we have more good in there than bad, it'll just be every now and then. We won't always be blowing up. So what has the abundance of our heart? And a person that's critical, we know what the abundance of their heart is. Number 11, critics enjoy what they're doing. He says this, Proverbs 1, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? Question. And scorners delight in their scorning? Question. And fools hate knowledge? Question. Now, there's three people he mentions here. He mentions the simple. And he's asking them, how long are you going to keep delighting in being simple? Simple person is someone that does not know the truth. In other words, there's you have the wise man. He's seeking to learn God's word and apply it to his heart. You have the fool. He denies and ignores God's principle. And you have the simple. They just don't really know any better. But some of the simple he's talking to here, he's like, they delight in being simple. They just don't want to know any better. It's almost like they are purposely sticking their head in the sand. And he's like, why? How long are you going to do that? Then he mentions the scorners. And scorners delight in their scorning. How long are you going to keep getting enjoyment out of it? They're doing it not out of ignorance. They're doing it out of enjoyment. And then he mentions the fool who hates that which would help put him on the road to stop being a fool. Knowledge is the beginning. We get knowledge, and now we can have wisdom. And fools, they don't even want to have knowledge. They hate it because that would change who they are if they were let it. But the point is, Solomon is asking, and really it's almost confusingly, why the simple like being simple? Why the scorners delight in their scorning? And why the fools want to avoid knowledge? It's like he doesn't understand it. Well, I know this, for the most part, they're like that because they like it. That makes no sense to people that want to please God and be wise. Why would a person like doing that which is wrong? They get an enjoyment out of it. The Bible tells us here, the scorner does. Think of it this way. It's just who they are. They have chose to be that way. They want to be that way. And so ultimately, that is just who they are. You think of a pig. You take a pig. You clean it up, take it out of the mud, do everything you can. You clean that pig up, pigs don't sweat, by the way. Do you ever hear the phrase, you know, oh, I'm sweating like a pig? How many of you heard that? How many of you knew that pigs don't sweat? Okay? That's why the phrase doesn't make sense, okay? I don't know, but it just says that. They don't sweat. So when you take a pig out of the mud, one of the reasons the pigs like to go in the mud, because they don't sweat, they have a tendency to get hot, and so that cools them down. And so when you take them out of the mud and you're trying to clean them up, they're going to go right back to the mud. You know why? Because that's who they are. It's what they do. And that's what a scorner is. They like it. They delight in it. So guess what? That just becomes who they are. And it becomes what they do. Now, first of all, that should be a warning to us. Let's not get involved with it. Let's not turn that road and start enjoying it. The scornful person, unchecked by obedience of God's word, they're just doing what is natural to them. And by the way, we can never excuse what we're doing by the fact to say, well, that's just how I am. You know, or the phrase people use now, it's like, well, I'm being true to myself. There was a contemporary Christian singer, and he just came out and said, I'm gay. Left his wife, he's probably leaving his wife, I would assume, and his children behind. And he says, I had to do it because I had to be true to myself. And he says, I think God's okay with it. Well, let me say a couple things to that. Number one, God's not okay with it. Say, how do you know that? I've read the Bible. Wasn't hard to discern. Secondly, we all have sinful nature, right? And his sinful nature, which probably was fostered by the world, because the world is pushing people that direction now, but whatever, our sinful nature is always going to push us to do wrong, and so we fight it. We don't give in to it. That's just how I am. Okay, well, then the guy that murdered these shooters, the guy in Orlando and the one in San Bernardino, that's just who they are. So they're just being true to themselves? No, we're sin. I can't go do something that's wrong and say, well, you know, if I get pulled over, I'm speeding. The police officer says, hey, why are you speeding? I had to be true to myself. It's just who I am. I just have a real hard time staying within the speed limit. Can I just tell you something? He doesn't want to hear that. You know what he wants? He wants my driver's license, okay? So he can give me a ticket. Look, we can't excuse. The scorner's like, well, you know, that's just how I am. Doesn't matter. God says it's wrong. And so we got to be very careful about that. But we get to the point, and then when we get to that point, then we start just enjoying what we're doing. But a scornful person, they get some kind of sadistic enjoyment about tearing other people down. And we don't want to do that. Let's pray.